Under the skin. Hello, welcome to Under the Scales. I'm here in Princeton, New Jersey with Kelly D. Morris. How are you, Kelly?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. So, Kelly, we were just talking about the lyric, "Control for Smilers Can't Be Bought." And I think Kelly bases her whole life upon the fact that there's smilers out in the world. Would you say that I'm wrong? You can't say that I'm wrong.
I think it's fun to recognize the smilers, and if I see people who aren't smiling, it's fun to try to make them into smilers.
And it's sort of we were also kind of talking about the East Coast, West Coast philosophy thing, and Kelly's been on both, but I sort of feel you're naturally like a West Coast person. In fact, she's sort of sitting in a yoga stance right now. The West Coast being the place where I know people who get acupuncture for their pets. You know, I'm not saying you're in that camp. And I was refreshed to find that you didn't have any, like, dietary restrictions.
Not right now. That's my disclaimer. Yes, they might be coming soon, but for now.
which is refreshing from some of my West Coast friends, you know, are doing, they can't eat this, or they can't do that, or can't do blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, not like anyone on the East Coast doesn't have it, but for the most part, we're omnivores over here. So anyway, the way that I know Kelly and the way that you probably know Kelly is she was the creator of this incredible video around the fish song "More," which is on Big Boat, and it's a song written by Trey. And I'm sad to say my lyrics are not in there, after especially seeing what Kelly did with it. But I'm convincing her to try to do something with one of my songs, but more on that later.
There is no try. I will do, happily.
But the timing, really, don't you think that's part of it, Kelly? What happened with incredible reception that your video had? The timing of it with possibly the election, and some people were very disenfranchised and sort of depressed by the result. I don't like to kind of go political, but there were some people that were very depressed, and it's and some people that weren't. But it seemed like your video sort of mirrored the words that Trey was feeling at the time as well in a very good way. But it left us all hopeful, also.
I think that everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, a lot of the population, maybe more than 50%. Needed hugs, right? Like, there was a really, particularly days after the election, within a day of the election, my Facebook feed went dark. That's the best way to say it. And I know Facebook is, it's kind of a political thing now, just in that I hear millennials don't even use it, but it's still a way that I connect heavily with
it's a thermometer kind of society, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so by dark, you meant it actually went from happy, smiley photos to sort of depressing ones.
Yeah, because I don't think that many people I know did not anticipate the results of the election.
Right.
And when the results came out, there was a lot of frustration that I was feeling and hearing.
Right.
And I put out a request through a number of fish groups that I'm a member of through Facebook. And I said, okay, y'all, like, just, if you have images, I would love to see right now what love and light looks like to you. I should backtrack, because I was coming off of the Las Vegas run, which was Halloween.
Okay, right, right.
And the Halloween run was where I heard "More" for the first time live. I had heard it on Big Boat, and right. I was really looking forward to hearing it live. I kind of went into the weekend anticipating that, knowing that they'd played it early on the tour.
Right.
But for the West Coast, I couldn't go back to
Did they play that song after the David Bowie set, or was it before?
They played it before. So they played it on the Saturday night before the Bowie
that's
set
right.
was Monday.
And that was possibly the first time a lot of people heard it.
Yeah.
It was like a powerful song, and I was kind of like, what is this? This is interesting. Lots of imagery, and kind of, I'm not going to say a departure for Trey, because he's very versatile as a writer, lyricist, but definitely kind of different. And, you know, reaching for something else, unusual for him, I thought.
Interesting. Yes. What struck me about that song and I think a lot of people, is that it did not leave their heads. It was a songworm, right? Isn't that the word?
Earworm.
Earworm, yes. Yeah. And it got stuck in my head to the point that the first night in Vegas, the Saturday night, a lot of people were walking around thinking and saying even to each other, like, we're vibrating with love and light, right? This idea and that image, because there is so much collective energy through the fish scene.
Yes.
And I think a lot of us felt that Saturday night was such a solid show. It was so much fun. And they closed that first set with that song.
Yes.
And I happened to be on the floor surrounded by three dear friends. And I remember when they played it that we were really, like, it was a very celebratory moment. There was a lot of ecstatic dance. There was a lot of, like, singing along. And then they walk off stage and we were all just kind of, like, vibrating with
the
love
energy
and light.
Is still there.
Yeah, sure.
Right. And now, just to prove kind of to myself, I had to kind of go back in time when that video came out, because to me, the video images and seeing the images, and there were things that were happening in there, the Dakota Access Pipeline in your videos, stuff like that, were current. And these were your interpretations. They weren't Trey's. And the timing of Trey's has nothing also to do with the election either, obviously, because it was written well before.
Right.
However, there was, like, a longing for something. There's got to be something more than this. There's like, you know, in these times, what's the word,
in a world gone mad?
In a world gone mad, yeah. So there was some frustration, and I'm not sure if he was necessarily, in a world gone mad, that's a global sentiment.
Yes.
So that's not just he's having a tough time. That's the world's having a tough time.
And I've wondered about this. I would love to ask him.
Yeah.
He wrote it in, I think, August or maybe July after.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it was after
tour, make sense.
Before Big Boat came out.
Right.
So yeah, I wonder what he was thinking. I would love to hear more from his side. And it's a challenge, and I was just talking to you about this, about putting images and assuming I know where he was coming from. So I did my best interpretation of those words.
Yes.
But yes, it seems like he was ahead of his time by even a couple months. But there's been 2016 was a heavy year. There's a lot of really, there was a lot of violence. There was a lot of frustration.
We lost a lot of amazing musicians.
Yeah.
Death. Among them, David Bowie. Yep.
And lots of movements.
Also highlighted in your video was some of the tension, the racial tensions with police
Black Lives
involved.
Matter.
Yes. And Black Lives Matter, that kind of thing. So, since we might as well plunge in a tiny bit deeper. You know, we're an audio podcast and we're talking about a video, which is unusual, but I'm hoping that people just, you know, immediately after this, go and take a look. If you haven't seen it before, it's an extremely emotionally charged viewing experience of a song that it'll make you, every time now you hear the song, you'll see these images, and it's really, really well done. And so I wanted to get to know Kelly and kind of find out, you know, how you did it and why. And I think I got a little bit of the why today. The how is, like, you know, I think she's also an incredible editor, you know, right? Don't you have that in the back? Don't you have that in the background, in your background?
That's been my career.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
What I've done professionally.
Okay. Cause I can't just sit down and do that. That's like, that's years of work,
I can't
right?
Sit down and write songs.
No, but just everyone with a, you know, you get a Mac and it has iMovie on it, and you suddenly think that you're an editor. There's something else going on there. I thought so. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm glad it wasn't just a first timer, you know, sitting down doing that.
It's like putting together a puzzle to me. Editing has always been a way for my brain, and I've always been a puzzle person. I love fiddling and making sense out of almost nonsense. And when nonlinear editing came along, which is how you edit on computers, right?
Yes.
I can almost shake up all the images and throw them back down. Whereas in the olden days, I had to cut and splice film and tape that together.
Right, okay.
So a very different process that made my life so much easier.
Ah.
I was right on the cusp of that as nonlinear editing was coming along. I actually had an internship at Avid, which was one of the first companies to do that when I was finishing college. So I got experience on this computer editing software that absolutely played in my wheelhouse of everything I love to do. except for the fact that I was by myself in dark rooms.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. So an editor has to be in a dark room. That's sort of like...
And isolated.
Don't give an editor a window because then they can't do their job.
Right. Then they'll be looking outside and wishing they were out there.
Right. You have to look at a screen.
I have to stay focused on the screen.
Now, something you said, do you think there's a delineation in time where like film students would know exactly when it occurred that nonlinear editing became a thing? Like, what was the last great movie without nonlinear editing that won an Oscar, for example?
Question.
Like, obviously, The Godfather didn't have nonlinear editing.
Oh, and I wish I could be this much of a movie geek to tell you the answer, but and
I'll
give away my age.
Because purists must have said, "Oh, that's cheating."
Right, and it really, I think a lot of the master editors would hire younger people who had experience working on this software to come out and push the buttons for them.
Uh-huh.
Which, if I had known back in 1995, that if I'd moved to LA, I could have been a button pusher for a master editor.
That would have been cool.
I would have loved that because I would have loved to have learned the craft.
You've gotten the old craft and the new kind of,
Yes.
And we were talking about, and I didn't really sort of know this until going into the studio with Fish, that like the leftover aspects of the old technology are still kind of interfused into the new, and it's like best of both worlds. For example, rather than recording an entire band into a computer, they still prefer, if they can afford it, to record it onto the old tapes because there's a better feel somehow. And then they transfer the tape into a computer.
Right.
Why do they do that? Why do they add an extra step? To me, in my purist brain, that adds noise.
Yeah.
And yet, somehow it adds quality.
Feeling.
Too. And feeling. Warmth.
And I think of film and the smell of film and touching film. In the olden days, the film editors would hang strips of film up over bins.
I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah. And I mean, imagine the detail and work to have to look through the tiniest little images and figure out where the cut points are then go from one shot to the next.
That's so cool.
Such an art.
That's really cool. Yeah.
So we get to cheat. It's not cheating because I think about that with all technology. There's an evolution of technology, and taking advantage of the new technology is only to our advantage.
Right. It's progress.
For the most part.
It's progress.
It is.
It's not cheating.
No.
Yeah.
But it does make me long for the old days, right? And the sentimentality and the kind of wanderlust, not wanderlust, but the romanticism, the romantic ideas of listening to a record even, you know? And I love that records have made a resurgence.
I know. Not me so much. I'm not like, I don't have that. My early experiences were, with headphones, listening to like Let It Be, Abbey Road, Bridge Over Troubled Water, and then there's one more that Trey and I share, which is an unusual one, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a double album, and every song was better than the last. And it turns out it has a lot of cool rock guys in it, like the dude from Ian Gillan from Deep Purple.
That anyway.
Was Jesus. And he rocks Jesus. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, because where I was going with this was we were about to plunge in depth into the song itself. And I was kind of, the way we got on this tangent was I was saying I'm an audio podcast and we're about to talk about a video. But anyway, so Trey's words, and they begin right away with life in slow motion, feet are in the clay, I'm going nowhere, I've been standing here all day. I had a notion there was something more to do as I watched the water from the banks of the river, it swelled and grew. And your images during that scene, to me, it sort of starts out with some like possibly disadvantaged people, some homeless people on the streets. But there's this sense of unrest that you immediately put in it. Like, I think a dude in a protest like ran by and smashed a car window.
Yeah.
What was that from? Was that a riot that you know of, or was it just footage?
That was just footage.
Okay.
And yeah, I was just looking for not being able to go out and shoot everything.
Right.
I couldn't go out and film these things myself, so I was grabbing footage from different places.
Yeah.
And, borrowing footage.
Yeah.
And just anything that struck a chord with me as I was listening to those lyrics, and I was kind of playing them over in my head, it did feel like This person is stuck, right?
Yeah.
And trying to figure out what to do next or where to go.
Feet are in the clay.
How do you? Yeah.
And then as soon as we changed over to water, you had some water images like of
those things with water.
Yeah. Life in slow motion. Feet are in the clay. I'm going nowhere. Been standing here all day. I had a notion there was something more to do. As I watched the water from the banks of the river, it swelled and grew. And I know that personally because almost every one of my songs has water in it. But that's not about me. This is about Trey and you right now. And like the Flint water crisis you represented in there. You found like a footage of disgusting water coming out of a sink.
Yeah.
And then similarly, the Dakota Access Pipeline, we talked about that before. Those protests where in freezing temperatures, the police and people were spraying water.
And that was happening as I was editing.
Oh.
The Dakota Access Pipeline protests were happening throughout the month of November. And as that was happening, it was there were so many posts through Facebook, friends who were going there, friends who were wanting to be there, seeing the footage and it not receiving the media coverage, not receiving the kind of spotlight that it deserved. It didn't really get the spotlight until I think the Army Reserves, right? It wasn't reserves. Whoever these people were, they were affiliated with the Army. They were no longer in active service. I want to say they were maybe Guard Reserves.
Yeah, Reserve, National Guard, or maybe Army Reserves, right?
Who were
they
willing,
get called up.
Yeah, and they were standing in front of the cannons. And once they stood in front of the cannons, that's when CNN, that's when the major news company said, okay, look what's happening here.
Right.
And then following, it's so frustrating, because then following there were some discussions that then led to the idea that the pipeline was not going to be moved forward with.
Oh.
And then as soon as the political seasons have changed, then that was done away with. And
yeah, it seemed like their fight was immediately lost when the new administration came in. And part of the, not only just sort of the national, sort of the sacred reservation for Native Americans being used and kind of dug up, and that scene was so wrenching in your video of the beautiful buffalo all of a sudden just racing across. It was, and everyone cheering, everyone, you know, protester and non-protester alike were cheering for these buffalo. And that was in your, so you turn down sometimes the music and put in, turn up the sound from the clips.
Sound is so powerful.
Yeah.
And it's another
But it's really
character.
Well done, because you must like worry about stepping on.
I definitely didn't want to step on toes. I definitely looked for breaks to place.
So that's why it's, again, artistic, and you can tell. One of the things that involved water with that pipeline was, I think it had to go under a river, and people are worried, possibly the Missouri River. Maybe, I'm not sure. I don't know that area of the world very well. And they're, of course, worried about a major spill into a river. It would be horrible.
Yeah, and that had already, actually I think a spill happened within a very short time, a suspiciously short time.
Right.
After that part of the pipeline was preserved.
Yep. And so then we have the lyric, back to Trey's lyrics. I tilt to the left, lean to the right, tilt to the left, lean to the right, walked on coal, slept on glass, amid swords of sound and daggers of light. And here you clip in the horrible San Bernardino shooting. Yeah, the after effects, and that is just incredible. And then Trey, almost in answer to you, is saying, and my heart is screaming, because half of what I say is lies, and it takes so much to keep up this disguise. And my heart is screaming, because half of what I say is lies, and it takes so much to keep up this disguise. To keep up this disguise. And for that, I feel that that's kind of when a dude, a cop with a chest cam approaches this guy, and I think it even says his name is Patrick, and I forget, forgive me for forgetting the details here, but I believe that guy ended up killed by the police.
He did not.
Oh, okay.
No, he did not.
But he got very beat up or something.
Yeah, he was in his yard, in his front yard, working on his car, I think.
Yeah.
And the police thought he looked like someone else. They got him confused with someone else. They approached his car and tased him. And part of the good thing with technologies we're talking about is the transparency that is able to happen now.
Yeah.
That people can share videos, that everyone has, not everyone, but many people have cameras that can shoot videos.
It adds to the accountability, kind of.
Yes.
Yep.
And we're all able to look out for each other in some ways that way and share this knowledge and information so quickly.
That's a good point.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, I want to say that that's a game changer, that that's a level maker, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
In many ways.
Although I just read that book, The Circle, which is sort of like a Google, a parody about, or not a parody, but sort of like a Google-like company taken to extremes where everyone is visible all the time on video. So like you can see anyone else at any time.
It's so...
And it's called transparency. And so like at first the goal was be the ultimate in transparent. And then they made it a mandatory for politicians to be transparent. Like, why would we vote for you if you weren't living your life transparently? That kind of thing. And it just, it became this sort of, this metaphor for where we might be going with overdoing the video stuff.
We were talking about that too. The idea of that everything we do and share, it's all documented, you know? And what do you hold sacred, or what do you keep to yourself, or what do you put out there to the world?
Right.
And, yeah, with politicians being transparent, how much can you expect them to share of their lives? Or not just politicians, though. I mean, it's anyone who's in the spotlight anywhere.
Right. And weirdness, like in this house right now, we're being listened to. Alexa, are you listening to me?
I only send audio back to Amazon when you press the mic button or use the wake word. For more information and to view Amazon's privacy notice, visit the help section of your Alexa app.
Thank you.
Point made.
But you know what I mean? It's on. So that mic's on. And who knows really if they only send it back, blah, blah, blah. Do we trust Amazon? Sure.
And Google too. Part of what I wonder though is, and this is part of my choosing to live, I don't want to say blindly, but just accepting how it is, is that how much do they care about what I'm doing?
Right. Oh, safety in numbers.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, like, who their targets are, or if the information is garnered or gathered. Like,
right.
At least I want to think that I'm not doing anything anybody cares about. You know.
But, well, I know they. Right. But then there's the. I mean, I've heard counter arguments to that too.
Yeah.
Because the more you sort of poo-poo your privacy and just say, "Oh, no one cares about me," then that leads to situations where...
More situations that it's all open.
Exactly. One day you wish that you had like kind of kept track of that a little bit.
And as I feel myself, I don't want to say reeling back, but I think now more about what it is I share. Pictures that I put out and with Facebook and friends and people who I know, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I want to get to know them, you know, they're friends.
There's limits always being tested on social media, people experiencing new things that you should and shouldn't do and shouldn't put up, et cetera. Every day we're learning, you know, how to exist in this.
We're the guinea pig generation of that.
Yeah, you know? We are. Yep. So I see a doorway in the haze and I'm trying to get to it. And for that, I believe, I'm not sure if I have this exactly correct, but you have this pretty powerful footage of a person about to jump off a building.
That is what it is, yes.
And to me, it's like he sees the doorway in the haze and he thinks that that's the answer, and yet a bystander or some people help him and prevent him from jumping.
I see a doorway in the haze and I'm trying to get to it. The stars are people's in a wall, but we can walk through. Still so real. I guess it's never really over, even when it's over.
It's heart-wrenchingly awesome, that scene. Yeah.
To me too. Thank you for saying that.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, that exceptionally powerful footage that when I saw it, I didn't go out looking for that shot. I think when I saw that shot, I was actually looking at a series of videos because I've been... For that video, I was specifically looking for positive content. I was specifically looking for videos of people doing good for the world. And that's not easy to find out there, right? Those, because people don't often turn the camera on themselves when they're going to go help someone or do something good for someone else, which, and then there's a question of staging those things, which I don't like, but I also wish there was more positive content. I wish there was just more emphasis on the good.
Yes.
I digress. The point was, with that video, I think that had been captured because they were whoever was the camera person behind that shot
yeah.
was filming that person was being rescued
yes.
in that moment.
Right.
And I'm
it's
just
kind
so
of a
glad.
Glorious moment.
I'm
yeah.
so glad that was
yeah.
that person was rescued in yep. that moment.
And then there's, to me, like that sort of marks the turning point in the song where Trey goes from, you know, this is sort of what's wrong to, it kind of becomes a little bit more, positive. And so does your imagery. I believe the stars are the stars. Oh, I think that I wrote this down incorrectly, but the stars are peepholes in a wall.
And we can walk through
it. I think.
It. Yeah.
And we can walk through it. The memory is still surreal. I guess it's never really over, even when it's over. And the buffalo stampeding as the protesters cheer. And then the one that I love, and my daughter loves, I remember she cried when she saw it, this car's rushing by on a freeway and this guy stopped his car and is helping little ducks up the curb, like to their mom. They couldn't get up themselves and he stops to prevent them from, you know.
Because there's so much good out there.
Yeah.
There are people who help the ducks all the time.
Yeah.
Like I happen to have a dash cam that filmed it. You
his
know?
Personal risk. He risked yeah. himself for the ducks and that was awesome.
And turtles. Yeah. I have a friend who says she lives in the mountains of North Carolina in Asheville.
Yeah.
And she always talks about be careful for turtle season because they're those, they like pull the car over and safely rescue the turtles.
I stop for turtles.
Yes,
I've
good.
Done that in New Jersey. There, you know, some big ones. And some of them don't like you when you're grabbing them. And they kind of reach their head around and you're not sure how... Your neck's not supposed to be that long, kind of thing. Like really big, you know, 20-pound turtles.
Oh my! I've never really.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Big mamas and kind of scary. Yeah. Well, all you can do for those is kind of get them to the grass and then kind of hope that they go the right direction, not toward the road again.
Yeah.
And yeah, but definitely don't like being
much larger turtle than I would.
Yes.
than I anticipated.
Yeah. No, but I definitely didn't want to hit it with my car, and I stopped. And of course, luckily, the car behind me stopped. And it's night usually when this
right.
kind of thing happens.
So there's a certain amount of danger and risk.
Yes.
But yes, the essence and the heart of doing the right thing and helping
yeah.
each other, helping little creatures, and
yes.
you're making their day better by
right.
doing.
And not just driving by and saying, "Oh, that's terrible."
Someone else will take care of
Someone
that.
Someone else or... will take care of it. Yeah, exactly. And. Then Trey, of course, says, "I'm vibrating with love and light. I'm pulsating with love and light."
We're vibrating with love and light. Pulsating with love and light. In a world gone mad, a world gone mad. There must be something more than this. Oh, 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 oh.
Symbols of hope and love. You have, I think, the first fish audience footage comes in then, and that's when it's like Trey's playing, and you see Paige from behind Paige. You get to see his viewpoint of the audience out there, and it's awesome. I don't know where that's
that
from.
That's Vegas.
That's Vegas.
Yeah,
and that's sweet. That is awesome footage.
Someone happened to be filming it off the webcast who happened to share that clip as I was editing it, and I saw it.
Too good.
And it was really remarkable because otherwise I couldn't have included the band. I didn't have any footage. I didn't have access to the footage.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
That was true luck. That was great.
Right.
Thank you.
And then, you start seeing the newborn babies and people in love and stuff. And another scene that I personally like, and this one had relevance today, I have to tell the audience what happened to you and me today, Kelly. But the scene that I love that you put in here is Bernie Sanders is talking to a crowd, and all of a sudden this little bird comes up and lands on his podium, and the audience goes nuts, and even Bernie goes nuts, and the bird sort of stays there for a while, and it's a really heartwarming moment. And I think to me it was like almost like Mother Nature is saying, like, look, this guy's got your attention. Now pay attention to me, too. You know, Mother Nature, listen up. Something's happening here.
Everyone Even the has birds to, like birds.
Everyone has to pay attention. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm trying to be nonpartisan.
Okay, sorry. Sorry. Yes. And everyone, it was a wake-up call. And that was in Portland, Oregon, too, which I love. That happened to be in Portland, which
right.
is one of my hometowns. And
right.
yeah, the crowd went crazy. And I do think that there's such an environmental aspect of
yeah.
politics right
I
now.
Wish politics hasn't gotten environmental. I wish it was kind of like both sides would see the value of the earth and remaining in environmental.
How can they not?
It's a little bizarre. I'm
we're
not
so
sure.
Caught up in so many other things when
right.
like right now we get to live on earth for this moment in time and unless we respect it,
right.
it's not
I
gonna...
mean I kind of get there's somewhere there's an argument like, you know, some of these policies are detrimental to jobs. But in this particular case, I didn't see it necessarily. And it seemed like just sort of an FU move. But again, I don't want to be partisan. But what I do want to say is Kelly wanted to see the rhombus. And we're in Princeton, New Jersey, and the rhombus is in Princeton. And so we went to the rhombus, and we're sitting there, and we're actually talking. So we were sitting with our back to the rhombus, and I told her I had my bachelor party there, and I told her some stories about funny things happening at the rhombus. And every now and then I would make a sound, like hit the rhombus and let it vibrate in the way that Trey and I used to love. And then as we started talking a little bit about this video, and even we had mentioned the scene where the bird kind of flew up, then I was talking about another song that I wrote recently that I wanted to play to Kelly because it reminded me of this song more. Trey and I recently wrote a song called Leaves. And I, when I saw Kelly's video, I also thought that maybe she would want to do a video
maybe.
For this song.
That's so funny. Stop saying maybe.
Okay, you do. Well, we have to ask Trey too, of course.
Okay, yeah.
But there was sort of like a nature message. It's nature talking to you in a way in the song. And right when I said those words, it was nature talking to you. And we had just gotten done talking about the bird and Bernie Sanders. We were at the rhombus, mind you, which is the sacred gamehenge icon. Guess what kind of bird came up and sang probably 10 different songs to us? A mockingbird. And we're not kidding. We looked it up on the internet because I heard him go through different birds' cycles. Like, it wasn't just one song.
And it was multiple. Loud.
And it was loud. It was right above us. And so the mockingbird came up and talked to Kelly and me at the rhombus. So that was sort of magical. That was when we began to sort of feel that we were onto something today. You came on the right day.
So at this time now, out of the sky comes the famous mockingbird flying down, and he lands on Iculus's shoulder, and Iculus whispers in the famous mockingbird's ear, and the famous mockingbird flies off into the distance toward the evil King Wilson's castle to steal the helping friendly book.
Yeah, and then I did. I played Kelly in my car. We rolled the windows up and turned up my stereo. I have a really good stereo in my car. It's just factory stock, but it's so good.
It's a good
plus,
car.
Yeah. Plus, I tuned it. You know, I got it dialed in perfect, and played this song that Trey and I had written. I don't think anyone's heard it yet, except me, Trey, maybe our wives, and maybe the band members, and maybe a couple of other people. But other than that, just super, super close friends. So maybe at most 20 people have heard this song. And Kelly really had a beautiful reaction to it. And that's kind of what Trey and I had when we first wrote it and listened to it. So I'm really glad that you liked it.
I love it. I mean, as you're telling this story again, it's hard for me to believe that series of events happened.
Yeah.
This is such a dream. And as a fan, just I'm going to geek out for a second, but just
Please
to let
do.
You know, like, what an honor it is to be here, to be spending time with you, and to go to that space, to have this bird come and hang out with us for
affirm,
a little while.
Affirm the
everything is the, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's right.
Yeah. I'm holding tight. It's good. And I'm honored. And that song is spectacular.
Thank you so much for saying that. And thank you. I don't think I'll keep reading more about this video because it kind of does, like we said, it doesn't make sense. But I did want to get to at the end of the entire video. And we're vibrating with love and light. We're pulsating with love and light. There's lots of now love scenes, you know, people, couples, concert goers, festival fun, more band footage. And it really does sort of, it plays on a lot of emotion. And Kelly does it very creatively. And you owe it to yourself to check it out. It's called The More.
If you type in More by Phish, The More Project,
yeah,
it
pops up. It's the most viewed video of the song. Yeah. Do you know the number of viewers or anything like that? I don't know how that works.
Somewhere in the mid, I think it's 93,000, 92,000.
So all right, everyone chip in and let's make it crest over 100,000. Let's get into the six figures, folks. It deserves it.
Six-figure video is crazy.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe like a handful of people. I really didn't. I just never in a million years anticipated the reaction. I never... Right. I just had no idea that it would be received. And I'm so glad that, you know, if it makes your day better, that's awesome. I've always wanted to work with Phish, so to be able to work with Phish Song. And
that's really cool.
Yeah,
so, praise words. In terms of, like, how did you get permission, or how does that work? Because these are some images. Am I asking things that will get you in trouble?
No. I don't think so. Okay. I hope not. I have not gotten in trouble.
Okay.
I am...
Did you sort of, because I saw like, I saw a list of like in thank yous, I saw people that I know, you know, among them Beth and even Marco from the Mockingbird Project. And
I've been able to meet so many people.
I even
too.
Saw Peter, fan art Pete.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
A few people are in the thank yous, and that means that you got help along the way.
That's so after I released the video, I ended up coming to New York for the New Year shows, which was a treat. It was the first time I've ever participated in fan art, which was, it was just so fun to have the video there and to talk to people about it who had just seen it. And I'm excited to do that again this summer.
Oh, cool.
For the Baker's Dozen.
Oh, good.
I'm going to have a camera set up, and I want to ask people, fans. I want to ask fans some Phish questions, and I'm going to put together a video of...
Hey, that's my... Don't step on my toes.
I'm not,
that's
right? Because you're not doing the video, right?
Oh, okay,
like,
right,
it's a visual thing. I think like a confessional booth. That's kind of the idea I have, is if they can step into the booth.
Step into the freezer.
Right?
What was your first Phish concert?
Spring 1993. I was out in Los Angeles on spring break, and my brother Chris... played Phish for me back in 91. I remember being in a drive-thru and he played Junta, and Contact was the first song I remember hearing. It took me a couple of years. I was in school in Boston. I wish I'd started right away, but I didn't go to my first show until I happened to be on spring break, spring 93, at the Palace. Is it the Palace or Avalon? I think it's either called the Palace now or was.
Okay.
The Avalon.
Uh-huh.
Tiny. I think it was like 200 or 300 people.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I loved them then, and then I didn't go again until... I saw The Dead not too long after that. So I saw Phish first, then The Grateful Dead, and then New Year's Run. And then my first full tour was summer 95. It's great. And I kind of kick myself for, I hear you reference the 300 Club.
Yes.
And no, I'm not there. But I think if I hadn't moved
It's funny,
west,
I don't even have to ask that question now.
I know.
People answer it, which is great. It's my quintessential question. If you don't answer it in the course of being interviewed by me, I will ask you. So you might as well put it in when you feel comfortable.
There.
Do you know your magic number?
I think it's like 216.
Oh, wow. That's kind of close. That should be. Can you round up to 300? Nah, not from 216.
No. But the summer, I'll be filming and traveling. And I'm going to try to go to everything.
Good.
I'm excited to just be out there. I'm ready to get out.
Well, I'll see you at the Baker's Dozen, and I'll see you at Dick's, I think. And that's where I'm going to... Maybe you and I can team up, because I'm going to do a man on the street type recording there.
Uh-huh.
Through the shakedown at Dick's. I have friends, and if you want to come and be the video component of that, we can do that. All right, so look for me and Callie.
That'd be so fun.
At Dick's. Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of friends who are setting up little bands and stuff, so it'll be fun.
That'd be awesome.
We'll go into burrito makers' vans and see what actually happens in there. You, because of this more video and the success of it, so to speak, and the reaction to it, has kind of given you a different direction, and you're sort of doing something called...
I'm going to do a documentary series called, this series will be called the Wingsuit Series. And the series as a whole is called You Be You, which is influenced by the Wingsuit, song Wingsuit as well.
Right.
It's only You Be You because you're the only one. There's a line in that song.
Say your website really quick too.
Oh, best one now, BeMoreFilms.com.
Okay.
And BeMoreNowFilms.com will take you to Be More Now, which is shared with... Be More Now Films.
Okay. I think I wound up somewhere called BeMoreNow.org.
There's BeMoreNow.org and BeMoreNowFilms.com.
Oh, okay.
Did
okay.
I say that? I might have said it incorrectly.
I probably listened to it incorrectly.
Yeah, no worries. However, we've got it right now,
yeah,
so that's
okay, good.
BeMoreNow.org. And there's also a Facebook group, Be More Now and Be More Now, the More Project.
Oh, yeah.
And Be More Now Films.
Wow.
Is there.
Okay, so you have lots of projects, and are they just... They're it's incipient, right? It's just started. And what is the Wingsuit film series going
to
be?
Thank you for keeping me focused.
Sure.
The Wingsuit series is, as I got to know some of these people across the country, I got really excited about the idea of going and meeting people, getting to know and getting to spend time with some of these incredible individuals who are out there being themselves, being their most authentic selves and just shining by giving back to the world through their art, through their community, through their passion.
Right.
And what ties them all together is their love of fish. So my first series, I wanted to do an homage to fish.
Wonderful.
So yes. So this series, I'm very excited to, there are people all across the country and my list is, I just love looking at it and I keep adding on to it because every time I meet someone
You and
else,
I both have lists.
Yes.
I wonder, like, we should...
Our rosters.
Yeah.
I call it the roster.
We must have some of the same people. That's got to be fun.
I have no doubt.
We should compare, but my list is top secret. Sorry.
And mine is too. Trade secrets. Yes. Well, I look forward to collaborating and sharing.
Let's collaborate at Dick's and do that. That'll be fun.
That'd be fantastic.
And you can see my list. I'm just kidding.
And you can see my list too. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Wow.
You know, I want to put out positive content. I mentioned that I feel like there's a great lack of content, of things for people to watch. And I think that's part of why the Moore video was so well received.
Have you heard a reaction from Trey about it?
About... The series?
That video, the Moore video.
Not directly.
Okay. Indirectly?
Indirectly, yes, indirectly, yes. And
Did he like it?
Yes. It's hard, I get stuttery. Yes, I'm grateful that, I was very grateful to hear little bits.
Cool.
And that it was shared that first morning by people who are close to the band. Uh-huh. I think that gave that video wings. And I appreciate that it has had a life, that it has been able to...
More than wings, it gave them a wingsuit.
It gave it a wingsuit.
An entire suit, yes.
Yeah.
That's great.
I couldn't have asked for anything more.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, I'm grateful.
So, Kelly, I remember you were kind of... We had a head of steam, so you didn't interrupt me, but I saw you wanted to... when I identified one of those scenes in the video as the San Bernardino shooting, but you wanted to correct me. So
that was the Miami nightclub shooting.
Oh, okay.
It was actually a year ago this week.
Got it. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And that
makes sense. That makes sense because it did have people outside the nightclub. Okay. Yeah. I should have known that.
No, that's okay.
Isn't it terrible that we're in a world where you can mix up shootings like that?
So much bad news.
Yes. Yes.
And that's
that's why we
thank
need,
you for
yes, absolutely. So that's why we need videos and beautiful imagery and like this.
Aww.
Yeah. So Kelly, I understand that you self-funded that video entirely and did it on your own time with your own money, if money was involved there. There probably was.
With the Moore video?
Yeah.
Yes. I'd come into a time that I had about a month to give to a job, and I was so inspired that I wanted to make
so
that
time
video.
Time is money. So you donated your time to create that.
Yes. Yeah. I'm really excited to make this
so
film.
So this
series,
is all on you right now.
Yeah.
And I noticed that there's a donate button. If you wind your way kind of through the website, there's a couple places where I found a donate button. I'm going to click on it, and I hope other people click on it, because where's that money going to?
Any money donated to Be More Now... or Be More Now Films right now is going to go into the production costs of making this film series.
Okay.
And as I'm realizing, I've edited the first piece and it took me days to do shooting it. I had to travel to Santa Cruz to shoot. I have lots of expenses involved with making it, and I will this summer as well.
Right.
But I don't want to be doing anything else. Like, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, using
amazing.
My voice and making these films.
Right. So any little bit helps.
Any bit helps.
Right.
If it was a dollar, that helps. Like, because it adds up.
It's fantastic. Will it be shared through the website, or will it be shared through YouTube, or both? Or
both.
Okay.
Everything. And I think through my YouTube channel. It's fun to shoot. And that's what I'm loving about this project I'm doing. I've been editing for so long, I'm excited to be directing too.
You're having fun to get behind the camera rather than behind the video screen.
Yeah,
okay,
behind
good.
The camera and...
Good,
and
well, keep doing it because you're good at it.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Well, it's been wonderful to meet you, Kelly, and thanks. And please keep coming out with these, and I'm going to try to help by clicking the donate button.
And I'm so excited to do more of these. So, yes, it would be an honor to...
And I hope you do the song Leaves.
I can't wait to.
When that becomes a song.
Thank you.
It's a song.
It's a song.
I'm glad you like it. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it too. I'm so excited to see it live.
Yeah, yeah.
Think this summer?
I believe they'll play it. I hope they play it at Baker's Dozen. That would be sweet.
You guys are writing incredible music.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm so happy to be able to witness it and see it all come through. And we all are. So
it's fun. We're having fun.
It's a treat.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hey everyone, it's me, Tom. Thanks for listening to that episode with Kelly Morris. She wanted me to mention and thank Regina Van Heck as her primary collaborator in the creation of the More video. Jamie Lee Meyer is a great artist you may already know, who helped Kelly with art and stickers and promotion, and also gets a big thank you. Linda Castleton and Christine Rontal are contributors and advisors to Be More Now, and she also wanted to thank them. It was great having Kelly on Under the Scales. Now for some music news. July is the month of Phish Tour. I'm involved with an after show, first time ever, on Tuesday, July 25th at the Iridium on Times Square. There's a great band playing there that night, and I'm really proud that at least four of the members of the band will be from my old band, Amphibian. I'm the host that night, meaning I'll be there, I'll introduce the band, and maybe if they call me up on stage, I'll sing a song or two. But it's my friend Anthony Crizon's band, really. Anthony is the Spin Doctors guitarist and was Amphibian's guitarist. Anthony will be joined by a great young guitar player named Cal Kehoe. They'll play a lot of songs you know, and some new ones the three of us have written together. Anthony and Cal are two of the best guitarists around that I know that are playing today. Again, it's at the Iridium on Tuesday, July 25th, after the Phish show. It's just a few blocks north up on Times Square. It's a great club. Trey's actually played there before with some of the members of Tab in the band Sol Monde. And it's famous because Les Paul played there every week for 15 years, starting in the 90s. So long, and get ready for a musical Under the Scales next week with the two guitarists I just mentioned, Anthony Crizon and Cal Kehoe.